selling all various knickknacks and clothes just to say that they raised £291.
A bit louder, Mel.
Which is good. And just thank little Hannah, because she was looking after the money. And so she done well, so hallelujah. It's good to be here today. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. And when we come to the Bible, it always amazes me how that those who should know the Word of God miss revelation. And those who are ordinary people that are ignored, get revelation. Think of John the Baptist. He's baptizing in the River Jordan. And the people from Jerusalem, who are all the religious people, come to see what's going on. They begin to ask John questions. But there was a man there called Andrew. He got a revelation. The one that John has baptized is the Messiah. And he left and followed Jesus. And so in the story today, we are going to come across a number of people like that. Plus, the revelations that Jesus gave to his disciples. Reading from Luke 19, verse 11. And the background to this story is Jesus has approached Jericho. And then he has walked through Jericho, and a number of things happened at that time. And because of what happened, which we'll come to in a moment, the disciples capture an idea. And it's found here in this verse of scripture. And as they heard these things, Jesus spoke a parable. Because Jesus was near to Jerusalem, and because the disciples thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. The disciples thought that the kingdom of God was going to immediately appear. One of the things which we know about the disciples is that they were slow to understand the words Jesus spoke to them. A very short time before this, we read in Luke 18:31, Jesus took the 12 disciples apart. And he spoke to them. And he told them, I am going to Jerusalem. But when I go to Jerusalem, the scriptures must be fulfilled. And those scriptures, Jesus starts to tell the disciples. I am going to be delivered to the Gentiles. They are going to mock me. They are going to be pulling out my beard. They are going to be putting a crown upon my head. They are going to be blindfolding me. They are going to be saying, who hit you? Prophesy. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be scourged. I'm going to get put to death. He said, but the third day I'm going to rise again. In another place, Jesus said, this generation has rejected me. So there's many scriptures. Isaiah chapter 53 is part of, and so there's lots of scriptures that talks about Jesus and his death and resurrection. And so the Lord is saying to the disciples, these are the things which are going to happen to me. Everything that is written, everything is prophesied, and everything that is written concerning Jesus' first coming was fulfilled. That is why on the cross he could say, it is finished. But everything written about his second coming is still going to be fulfilled. And if you know anything whatsoever, God always fulfills his word. Prophecy will always come to pass. And here, Jesus is enlightening his disciples, taking them aside. And immediately they have forgotten this. Immediately they have forgotten everything that Jesus has said. And they're now saying, oh, the kingdom of God is going to appear now. And they get so excited. And so what happened? The Bible says that Jesus came nigh to Jericho. And when he came near to Jericho, there was a blind man. Couldn't see. And this man, he'd have heard all the stories about Jesus. He'd have known about Jesus, the man who opened blind eyes, the man who opens the ears of deaf, the man who does miracles. No doubt he would ask people, what do you know about him? So by the time that Jesus is coming by, this blind man has got a revelation. He has a revelation. Jesus is the Son of David. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one that the scriptures spoke about. And so as Jesus is passing by, he says to the crowd, what's going on? What's happening? And the crowd says, it's Jesus. And as soon as they said that, he began to cry out. He cried out, Jesus, Son of David. And the crowd, like anybody, shut up, shut up, shut up. Be quiet, he's not interested in you. But the more he told them to be quiet, the more he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, I know who you are. You are the Messiah. You are the promised one. He had the revelation of who Jesus was. And Jesus stopped. Bring him to me. And his eyes was opened. Now, the disciples would contrast this, the man who had the revelation of who Jesus was, with just a little bit earlier when Jesus went into a village. And when he was in the village, there were 10 lepers. But the lepers never had a revelation of who Jesus was. They knew Jesus as a man who could do miracles. And so what do they say? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Master. And when you look at the life of the disciples, there was one disciple who always said, Master. Master. When will these things happen? Master. And that disciple was Judas. Judas always called Jesus Master. The lepers, they never knew anything better. He's a man who's got power. He had the ability, but he did not have the revelation. So they cried out, Jesus Master. And Jesus was gracious and told them what to do. But here, Bartimaeus, he had revelation. It's not just Jesus who's a master. He is a Messiah. He is the one that the scriptures talk about. And it is amazing, a blind man, he has revelation. For when we go to the scriptures, and when we come to Jesus into Jerusalem, and there is the interrogation of Jesus, and we know what happens. They are forever asking Jesus a question. They're forever tempting Jesus. And the Bible says once they had finished asking Jesus, and they said they will no more ask him, Jesus asked them one question. And Jesus said unto them, Luke 20:41, how say they that Christ is David's son? So here you have those who should know the scriptures, those who should be aware of the word of God, and say, how say they that Christ is David's son? Because David said, the Lord said unto my Lord. And so therefore, David called him Lord. How is he then his son? And they said, we cannot tell. We cannot tell. But here you've got a blind man. A nobody who's had the revelation. You see, the revelation of God comes to those who have a heart that is open to receive his word and to believe him. You don't need to be somebody special for God to give you revelation. And so as Jesus now comes into Jericho, to pass through Jericho, we now read about a man called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a tax gatherer, but he's heard about Jesus. He wants to see Jesus. He's a man of small stature. So he said, I will go ahead and I will climb a tree so that I can see Jesus. And when Jesus comes through Jericho, he stops and he looks up to the tree and says, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I will dwell in your house. The revelation that Zacchaeus had, immediately he said, half my goods I give to the poor. And if I have done anything wrong or stolen anything, I will give fourfold back. Compare that to what just happened before this incident. Jesus met a rich young ruler. The rich young ruler came and said, how can I inherit eternal life? He comes and Jesus tells him what to do, and the Bible says he goes away sorrowful. Jesus never had to ask Zacchaeus about anything. Zacchaeus already had the revelation of who this man is, who Jesus is. And as soon as he gets that invitation to be in his presence, right away he said, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. Because he met with the Messiah. He met with the Son of God. And so these two incidents, which happened as the Lord passed through Jerusalem, here we have the disciples. It's caught the imagination of the disciples. They've now got this idea that the kingdom of God should now be made immediately appear. But you see, the Lord had already spoken about this subject. Back in Luke 16:16, the Bible says the law and the prophets, they were till John the Baptist. But since the death of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God is preached. And in Luke 17:20, we find that the Pharisees came to Jesus. And the Bible says they demanded of Jesus when the kingdom of God should come. And Jesus answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. He goes on to say, the kingdom of God is within you. So now Jesus has told the Pharisees, the disciples are there, they're listening. And Jesus has told the Pharisees, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation because the kingdom of God is within you. But yet we have the disciples saying, the kingdom of God is going to immediately appear. But Jesus said, no, it comes with observation. Doesn't come by observation because it's within you. Because the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It's to deal with the heart of man. It's to deal with the corruption of the heart of man. To change the heart of man. And to bring man into that place where there is forgiveness of sin. Where there is cleansing. Where they come to know the Saviour. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is to do with the heart, changing a person's heart. The entrance to this kingdom is through the new birth, to be born again by the Spirit of God. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this kingdom, this spiritual kingdom, it is something that takes place not with observation. When a person gets born again, their outward appearance may look the same, but inside, a transaction has taken place, and their spirit has become alive to God. So the disciples, they've heard about what's going to happen when they go to Jerusalem. They know that what Jesus said to the Pharisees, but yet they have this idea. Wow, look what we're seeing as we're coming through Jericho. The words that were spoken, the kingdom of God is going to immediately come. And it's like so often, it's like ourselves. There's things which God speaks to us about, and we soon let other things come in and take its place. And so Jesus has to speak to the disciples. And he speaks to them and he gives them a parable. And the parable is found in Luke 19:12-27. And we'll just do some of the highlights of it without too much detail. Now this parable is an interesting parable because there's another parable which is very similar to it. It's a parable of the talents. But here Jesus gives a parable of the pound. And then this parable of the pound, there are 10 servants. 10 in Scripture always refers to the Gentiles. Adam was the 10th. Noah was the 10th from Adam, and he was the father of the Gentiles. Genesis 10, you get the table of the Gentile nations. So this parable, Jesus is going to give to correct the disciples. And Jesus is going to tell them, the kingdom of God is not going to be immediately seen. But there is coming a day where the kingdom of God will be seen. And Jesus starts to expound this parable. As I said, you've got the parable of the pounds. The pounds are always a Gentile weight, whereas the parable of the talents are always a Jewish weight. And one of the things about this parable is every person gets one pound. Every person gets the same. The parable of the talents, people get according to their abilities. But here, this talent, everybody gets one. Everything is the same. And the parable is covering the kingdom of God, whereas the parable of the talent covers the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus starts to expound to them this parable. And he's speaking about himself. He talks about a nobleman. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So Jesus is a nobleman, and he is the one who's going to go into a far country. He's going to go to heaven. And in this particular time that we are living in, everybody has been given the exact same £1. And the Bible tells us in the parable, Jesus says, you occupy till I come. You occupy till I come. I have given you what to do in my Father's business. You do my Father's business day in, day out. Occupy till I come. And see, everybody who has entered the kingdom of heaven has Christ in their hearts. And everybody who has been born by the Spirit of God has the same ability and the same calling to witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're all called to be a witness and to work till Jesus comes again. Everyone has got that same calling. From the least to the elders, they can testify about Jesus. They can tell the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everybody is on the same plane. We're here to do our Father's business. But Luke 19:14 says, but his citizens hated him. We know that the world hates Jesus. We know that the world hates Jesus. They hated him when he walked the shores of Galilee. They hate him today. They curse his name, pull down his name. But notice what it says in John 15:24. Jesus said, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. So Jesus comes and he says, they hated me. Their citizens hated me. And then this example, John says, if I hadn't done the works that no other man had done. Jesus done things that nobody else done. But the things he'd done was written in Scripture. Because Jesus fulfilled Scripture. Scripture will always be fulfilled. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 is, then when Messiah comes, he will open the blinded eye. He will make the dumb speak. It did not say when Messiah comes, he will feed the multitude. The multitude were fed in the wilderness. It did not say when Messiah comes, he will cleanse the leper. Naaman the leper was cleansed in the Old Testament. It did not say when Messiah comes, he will raise the dead. You'll get three incidents of the raising of the dead in the Old Testament. But nobody in the Old Testament opened blinded eyes. Nobody in the Old Testament unstopped deaf ears. And it's written so that those who read the word could know and identify the Messiah. He is the one who comes and does what no one else does. He opens the blinded eyes. And what happened to the certain blind man at Jericho? His eyes are opened. See, Jesus has come and he did the works that none other did. And the Bible says when he returns again, he will receive the kingdom and the servants are called to give an account. Every servant will be called to give an account of their faithfulness, of preaching the gospel, of witnessing for Jesus, for standing up for his name. And the Bible tells us when he comes and he brings his servants before him, I gave you a talent, what did you do? And the servant comes and says, just 5 extra talents. Jesus says, you're going to have authority over 5 cities. If you've got 2 talents, two pounds, he said, you'll have authority over 2 cities. The rewards for those who are faithful are authority over cities. But in the parable, Jesus also says, there was one who just done nothing with the pound that was given. And this man, he said, I feared you because you're an austere man. You take things which, you know, you don't do the work. We have to do the work. You're really not a nice person to work for. There's bitterness in this servant. He feared the wrong things. And he's making accusations against God out of his bitterness and resentfulness. And he's resentful. You see, the master was gracious, because if he had even had 2 pounds, he'd have had authority over a city. But he'd done nothing. He'd done nothing. And so we have a warning that we have to share the word of God, declare the word of God, and be faithful to the word of God. Because we don't want to be ashamed when Jesus comes. And we don't want to be ones that are going to be accusing him of being unrighteous. But the other thing about the kingdom of God, the Bible tells us in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So when you are born again, you are going to see the kingdom of God. The disciples when they were in Jericho, they thought they were going to see the kingdom of God immediately. But Jesus said, you're going to see the kingdom of God, but it's not going to be immediate. He said, because I'm going away and you just have to occupy till I come. But when I come back, you will receive rewards. And when Jesus comes in his second coming, when he comes again to this earth, and the saints of God come with him, people are going to see the kingdom of God. They're going to see the new creation of God. Those born of the Spirit of God, those who have been transformed, those who have known the presence and power of God, and their lives have been changed. And they have become like Jesus. And they appear, and the new creation walks the streets of Jerusalem and walks through the streets of the towns on earth. And then people will see the kingdom of God. Everything in Scripture has got a time for when it will be fulfilled. And the disciples got caught up in Jericho to start to expect that kingdom of God to immediately appear. But Jesus says, it's not now, it's later. And in the meantime, you have to work and do the Father's business. We are doing the Father's business. You don't look to the left, you don't look to the right. Eyes on Jesus. Being led by the Spirit of God. Testifying of the goodness of Jesus. Testifying, my sins have been cleansed. Testifying, I have been born by the Spirit of God. I am a new creation. We have responsibility to occupy. Keep doing the same thing, proclaiming the word of God. Day in, day out, we are living for God, for his kingdom. We are looking and waiting for his appearing. And we do the work of the kingdom. And we keep our eyes fixed. Never get distracted by what happens in the world. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And when he comes, his rewards are with him. And in due season, the kingdom of God will be revealed. And all shall see it. So let us keep our eyes today on Jesus. Let's start to remember the prophetic words spoken into our lives. Let's start to remember what the Scripture says. Learn from the disciples. And try to keep focused on what God is saying without being distracted by what we start to see and get caught up in the moment. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we just worship you. We worship you this morning, Father. We lift up the name of Jesus. We worship him, the Son of the living God. And we know, Father, everything spoken of Jesus in the Scriptures will be fulfilled. As it was in the first coming, so shall it be when he comes again. And we, your people, Father, we come today to fix our eyes on Jesus. We come today to declare our allegiance to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We come today to stand upon the Word of God and declare that that Word shall be fulfilled. Everything spoken shall be fulfilled. And so, Father, we ask for the quickening of your Spirit into hearts and lives. We ask for a quickening of your people today in the name of Jesus.